have your Bibles, the book of Luke, chapter number 1. We began a series last week entitled Unwrapping Christmas. I'm going to continue that theme today in the book of Luke, chapter number 1. And when you found your place, I want you to stand with me as we reverence the reading of God's Word. We're going to begin reading in verse number 26. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. That is the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, if correctly read. I want to preach on this thought today, the wonder of Christmas. The wonder of Christmas. Boy, don't you wonder? It just makes me wonder, amen? The wonder of Christmas. Father, we thank you for your many blessings. Lord, we seek your face. Father, I thank you for the wonder of Christmas. I thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who was born of a virgin and lived a sinless life, that gave it upon the cross and was buried, and on the first day of the week arose again, that we might have salvation, that we might have the forgiveness of sins, that we might have eternal life, that we might be where you are, Lord. And we're unworthy and we're undeserving, but Lord, we sure are thankful, and it makes us marvel. It makes us wonder today, God. I just want to look into this scripture this morning, God. And I'm asking you, God, would you open the text to us? Would you help us today that we might see Jesus high and lifted up? Lord, I pray today, God, that your Spirit, God, might work through us, that your Spirit might speak through us. God, that you would help us, God, that we would hear from heaven. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Father, I ask your touch today. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing today. You may be seated. Now, this time of year, there are many who over-admire Mary, even placing her above the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is wrong. Jesus is the reason of the season. Jesus is the gift of God in this earth. Jesus is the one that gave his life upon the cross. Jesus is the one that was buried. Jesus is the one that was risen again. So we don't want to over-admire Mary. There are many who, because some over-admire her, they suppress her or they ignore her. You might say that they de-emphasize her. And I'm not here today to over-admire her, nor am I here to de-emphasize her. I'm here today to look at the testimony that she had as she honored the Lord. It's just, you know that for that young lady, there was a wonder of Christmas, especially for her, amen. Number one, I want us to see the salutation of grace. The salutation of grace. Now in the text, we see the angel's descent. The angel's name is Gabriel. He is sent from God to Galilee to a city by the name of Nazareth. When I think about Gabriel, I think about good news. Every time you see him in the Bible, he is delivering the message of good news. You see him earlier in this chapter. He's come to Zacharias and to Elizabeth that she's going to conceive and bear a child in her old age. And Gabriel has appeared unto Zacharias. If you will, for just a moment, let's just compare this good news. Gabriel brought a message to the man Zacharias. I contrast that he brought a message to the woman Mary. He brought a message to an old man. He brought a message to a young lady. Amen. He brought a message to a priest, but he also brought a message to a peasant. He brought a message to someone who doubted. Zacharias doubted the message, but he also brought a message to Mary, who's someone who believed. Now, this message comes with an accurate destination. He comes to a specific location. He comes to the place of the struggling, Galilee. There are three areas that are there in that region, and Galilee is the northernmost region of the three. It is a place that was trod by the Gentiles. It was a place for those lived that were really struggling. Someone said, can a prophet come out of Galilee? Let me say, yes, they can. Amen. Yes, they can. And today, let us know that God's message comes to those of us that are struggling. It comes not only to a place of the struggling, a place being trodden under the foot of man, but a place of separation. Nazareth. Remember how Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? It was a corrupt, vile, nasty little city. But that is where Jesus Christ, amen, is going to grow up, out of the city of Nazareth. Amen. So he's come to where Mary is living, and he's come with the message. What is his appointed domain? Look, he's come to a virgin who was espoused to a man by the name of Joseph, both of which were of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Here's Mary. She's living in obscurity. She's living in poverty. She is living in peasantry. She is poor. She is insignificant. She's espoused to Joseph. He's of the lineage of King David. He has a royal bloodline, but so many generations have now passed, they don't even consider that great anymore. Yet it was. They consider them lowly. They consider them, they don't even consider them as nobility anymore. She is an unlikely candidate. Thank God. Amen. You and I are unlikely candidates for the grace of God. She's just really a common peasant. Hey, that's really what I am, amen. Just a common beggar, just a common peasant, amen. Who God came to me with a message of grace. He came to the place of the struggling. He came to the place of separation. Amen. I was without God in this present world, without hope. And he came to me with a message of grace that he would save me from my sins. I get to thinking about how the Bible says, hail, thou art highly favored. The word in the Greek is the word charis, C-H-A-R-I-S. It is a word that is derived from grace. Listen to this. Ephesians 1:6. Here's one of the uses of the verb or the word charis. It is, he hath made us to be accepted in the beloved. Accepted. That's the grace of God. He has accepted you and I. We that were strangers, we that were on the outside, he has made us to be accepted. Here it is again. He says, here's another form of it. You are a chosen, there's the word, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Hey, God chose Mary and he chose us. He chose her in his grace and he chose us in his grace. He has favored us, the Bible says. Blessed art thou among women. Now here's another thing about Mary. She was a virgin. She had never known a man. She was pure. She was unspotted. She was undefiled. And here you are. You got saved. Amen. And the Lord has come to live inside your heart and your life. And he wants you to live unspotted. Amen. Unblemished. He wants you to live pure before the world. He wants you to have a life of holiness, a life of consecration. Oh, preacher, that word holiness, that scares me. Oh, really? Well, I have a holy Bible. and I have the Holy Spirit living in me, and I serve a holy God, amen. He wants you and I to be holy, amen. Now, this announcement is disclosed. Look again at the greeting. It is an amazing greeting. Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. This is what it means. I'm going to put it in Darrenology. Greetings to one who is accepted by God. Greetings to one who is accompanied by God. Greetings to one who is appreciated by God. And when he says this, when he comes to her with a message of amazing grace, she is troubled at his saying. She cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. I've already told you, I believe it's a salutation of grace. But she's sitting here thinking, who am I that I should be chosen? Who am I that God would speak to me? Surely God should have picked someone else. I'm unworthy. This is unexpected. I'm undeserving. This is unexplained. There's nothing commendable about me. I am nothing special. Here's what I think she thought. I'm not up to the task. Have you ever thought that? God has called you. God has told you to go testify. He's asked you to go witness. He's called you to preach. He's asked you to sing. He's asked you to teach. And you sit and you think, Lord, I know your grace is with me. I know you're Emmanuel. I know that's God with me. But Lord, I'm unworthy, I'm undeserving, and I'm certainly not up to the task. Amen. Here I am today, and I'm not up to the task. But you know what? That when you begin to sit there and you begin to deliberate, and you begin to reason with human intellect, and you begin to think about it, you know what it does? It causes fear. Lord, I can't do this. And you start getting afraid. I'll be honest, this morning, I got up this morning, started getting my mind again. Lord, I know this is what I'm supposed to preach today. And man, fear started trying to creep in and said, who are you to go up there? Why, you're just a nobody. You may say, Pastor, you've been here for 20 plus years. Who do you, listen, that's a battle every one of us face. I'll be honest with you, I would feel really bad if I thought I was going to get up here and handle the word of God and I wasn't nervous about it. I'd feel really bad, amen, because I know I'm unworthy and I know I'm unable and I just have fear. But I say, God, would you overcome my fear? God, would you overcome my crisis? God, would you overcome my anxiety? You know what he does? The message continues. The angel said unto her, fear not, Mary. Amen. Thank God, amen. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. There it is again. God's grace is upon you and is upon you. That, the word means you're endued with grace. You are going to get what you do not deserve, girl. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Woo! He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Her child is a special child. He'll be great. The Son of the Highest. Her child is a sovereign child. The Bible says God will give him the throne of his father David. Her child is a saving child. His name shall be called Jesus, for his name means Jehovah saves. Amen. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. She's going to conceive in her womb. I mean, the very verbiage, without being too explicit and getting into medical terminology, says that she's going to conceive in the womb, and that's not where conception generally is, amen? And she's going to, in other words, it's going to be a sovereign act supernaturally by a divine almighty God. Wow! I'm telling you what, you, when you got saved, it was a supernatural transaction. It is not anything you did yourself. It was not anything you were even involved with. You did the sinning and he did the saving. All you did was bow your knee, confess yourself a sinner, and call upon his name, asking him to save you, and he saved you. There was a couple getting older in life, as I am, and they wanted to go from Oklahoma, their home, they wanted to go and see the presentation, My Fair Lady, in New York. And they got on an airplane, and they told all their friends they were going, and they got there to New York. They didn't know that the thing had been sold out for 4 months and they couldn't get in. They were so disappointed. What are we going to tell all of our friends? We're going to be laughed at and ridiculed. And so they went outside the Broadway theater and stood there and saw all the people going in and were disappointed. And they saw all the people coming back out excited. And they saw people that threw down their tickets. You know what they did? They picked up tickets because they coveted the tickets, and they thought, we'll go home and show people we had tickets to the Broadway play of My Fair Lady. In fact, someone threw down a program, and they picked up the program and said, well, I got a program now. And somebody threw down a little booklet that went with it and had the songs in it, and they learned some of the songs that were in the little booklet, and they've got a program, and they've got tickets. And they were so excited. And they were learning things about it. They talked to people about it. And they flew back home to Oklahoma and they showed people. They said, here's our tickets. Here's our program. Here's our songbook. We know it. But let me tell you, the truth of the matter is, they didn't get in. And I get to thinking about salvation. Dave, some of you, you've talked about being saved. You've talked about the message of grace. You've got the program. You've got a copy of the book. Give me a songbook, somebody. You've got a little songbook. You've learned a few songs about this grace. You've got the program of grace. You carry around and you act like you've got the tickets to go, but somebody else is using them. Amen. Thank you. And I want you to know that you're not really getting in to the city of God. You've sat in this church for all these years. Maybe it's your first day here, and you're not getting in. And Sunday after Sunday, the grace of God is being expounded and is being presented to you, and the Holy Ghost draws and the Holy Ghost woos, and he's working in your life. And you say, well, I've got a songbook and I've got a Bible and I've got a heritage and I've got an ancestry and I've got a preacher and I've got a church, but you don't have salvation. Man, you need to get right with God. Because Jesus is coming. And he may come back before Christmas ever even gets here. God help us, I'm telling you, it breaks my heart. I want you to look with me in verse number 34. We see number one, the salutation of grace. Number two, I want you to see that Mary is seeking guidance. Look what she says. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She knows she's a virgin. She knows she's unmarried. She knows there's an impossibility of her to be with child. How's this going to be? She's not, well, Preacher Darren, I think she's doubting. No, Zacharias was doubting. I don't think she's doubting. I think she's asking for further instructions. Okay? Now hear me today. I'm going to need a witness right here. Is there anybody here in your life you need further instruction? God, I need some wisdom. God, I need you to show me, help me, teach me, speak to me, lay it out before me before I make a decision, before I make a choice. Lord, I need further directions. God, I need your help. Think about it with me for a second. Mary is hearing the angel, what he has to say to her, that she is going to conceive in her womb and that child would be great, the Son of the Highest, and that child would be named Jesus and save his people from their sins. And she's wanting further instructions about what needs to be done. She knows she's engaged, but her engagement period is going to last at least probably, maybe they're so far into it already, probably for a year. Most young Jewish men and women get engaged or a spouse for a year. Hey, man, I'm going to tell you something. It's okay to be engaged. Just keep waiting.
Keep yourself. Just keep waiting. Wait on God, amen. The families have agreed. The marriage is announced. The 1-year betrothal period has begun. And now I'm going to be with child? How's this going to be? I mean, if I were to be with child, there's a risk to my destruction. I could be stoned. Joseph could put me away. Maybe he decided not to stone me and have mercy on me, but he could put me away and I'd never get married again. I'd never get married at all. I'd be, for the rest of my life, I would be giving up the rest of my future. Lord, how shall this be? I'll be ridiculed. I'll be humiliated. Lord, how shall this be? I'm talking to somebody today for the cause of Christ. You've been ridiculed. You've been persecuted. You've been made fun of. You've been laughed about. But I'm telling you something, honey. If you'll choose Jesus, amen, let the world laugh at you, yes, but God's going to bless you, yes, and bless you mightily indeed. Amen. Amen. Sure. Thirdly, supernatural greatness. Supernatural greatness. Mary asked the question for further instructions. And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee." Here's what the angel's saying. The Holy Ghost is going to be the Father. It won't be Joseph. It's not going to be some mortal man. It's going to be the power of Almighty God. This Christ child, the Lord Jesus, he will not have an inherited sin nature from a human, from the blood of a human. Oh, no. The Holy Spirit then is going to draw a veil over conception. This is a holy happening. The birth of this child will be miraculous, supernatural. In other words, no human father. This is a holy thing. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. He will be the Son of God, and yet he will be the Son of man. He is full God, and he is full man. Now I teach math. And I'm just going to tell you, that's an impossibility. If you're going to have a whole, and there's only, you're going to have two sections of it, one divided by two is going to be half. And so in math, that'd be half Son of God, half Son of man. But you see, this is not mathematics to a man. This is the power of Almighty God. He is full God. And he is full man. He is so much man, he's going to hunger in the desert. But he's so much God, he's the bread of life. He's so much man that he thirsted at the well. But he's so much God, he is living water. He's so much man, he went to sleep in the boat. But he's so much God, the storm ceased when he awoke. He's so much man that he wept when Lazarus died, but he's so much God that Lazarus came forth when Jesus cried. Amen. He's so much man that he died upon the tree, but he's so much God, he arose in victory. Amen. I say hallelujah. Amen. Supernatural greatness. Amen. The angel is giving Mary enlightenment and understanding. Look at verse 36. Not only enlightenment, but he gives her encouragement. Oh, we need encouragement in days of discouragement. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth. Mary remembers cousin Elizabeth. She's an old woman. She's a barren woman. Her womb has never been able to have fruit of the womb. She's never been able to have a child. She's never been able to conceive. And now she's past those days, past those years, those childbearing years. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. This is the 6th month with her who was called barren. Amen. If God could make a dead womb spring to life, certainly he could make a virgin's womb spring to life. And just, well, Preacher Darren, that's against the law. Listen, who made the laws of conception and who made the laws of birth? God did. Amen. Honey, he do whatever he pleases. He said 740 years before this moment in Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He's just trying to encourage her. If I can bless Elizabeth to have a child in her old age, she that was barren, I can cause you to have a child too, my child. I say hallelujah. I get to thinking about verse 37, the enablement. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Now this is the angel speaking. This is the Holy Ghost doing the writing. The Holy Ghost knows, the angel Gabriel knows, that with God, nothing shall be impossible. I have been told things are impossible by lawyers. I've been told things are impossible by doctors. I've been told things are impossible by accountants. I've been told things are impossible by bankers. I've been told things are impossible by car salesmen and by those that might sell a house. I've been told things are impossible by even church members. That'll never happen. But honey, I'm telling you today that standing on the authority of the Word of God, that with God, nothing shall be impossible. He can do whatever he wants to do. He said, Jesus' words in Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him that believeth. He said in Mark chapter 10 and verse 27, with God all things are possible. In the Garden of Gethsemane, on his way to the cross, turn back to the book of Mark, help me Lord, the book of Mark chapter number 14. Mark chapter 14, in the Garden of Gethsemane, under the weight of my sin and your sin, when his sweat became as great drops of blood, when he is agonizing on drinking the bitter cup of sin, he that is holy, he that is harmless, he that is innocent, he that had never committed or partaken of sin, is getting ready to take upon himself my sin and your sin and the sins of the world. Listen here. In Mark chapter number 14, in verse 32, they come to a place which is called Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. He taketh with him Peter, James, and John. He began to be amazed and to be very heavy. And he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. He went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Watch what he says. He said, Abba, Father. That's a way of saying Abba means daddy. Abba, Father, he's saying, Daddy, ooh, 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 my, I'd run through my soul right there. Not only is he the daddy of Jesus, but he's my daddy too, amen. When we pray, we can go to the altar, bow on our knees, sit in our pews, humble ourselves and say, Daddy, this is what I need. Daddy, I don't understand. Daddy, can you give me some further instructions? Look what he said. Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Woo! In the hour as he's getting ready to go to the cross, he said, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Listen to me. It was not possible that death could lay hold on him. But God allowed Jesus to lay down his life. He had the power to lay it down, and he had the power to take it back up again. It's not possible once death has had a hold of somebody that they can ever get up out of that grave. It's just not possible that they can ever start breathing again or ever start walking or talking again. It's just not possible. But after they buried my Savior, when he laid down his life, on the cross when they buried him. And death said, I've got him. And the devil said, it's impossible now. This thing is over. Hey, on the first day of the week, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. With God, all things are possible. The Holy Ghost breathed in him, and up from the grave my Savior arose, and he walked out. I say hallelujah. He walked out of that tomb, and he's alive today, seated on the right hand of God the Father, where he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's with us today. I can feel him with me right now. I don't know what you face this morning. You may be facing an impossible task. There is something you cannot do. Hear me. It is impossible for us as a church to continue to have fellowship because we're all so different. But the things that are impossible with man are possible with God. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have fellowship and we have love one for another. And we join together. We band together. We come together today to worship he that gave his life that we might be saved. Amen. Please listen to us. It's impossible for us to come together, a bunch of peasants, to come together to try to lift up our voices, to put our talents, what little they may be, together, to present this man Jesus to a lost and dying world. It's impossible. But God said, you just get up there and you just humble yourself and you just put forth your best effort. You get sin out of your life, seek my face, and let me blow. Let me breathe on you. Let me touch you. Let me feel you. And you can present my son. You can present the gospel to the lost and dying world. Amen. It's impossible for a sinner to be saved. But because of Jesus, who shed his blood, through his blood, when the sinner comes to him, he can wash away the sinner's sins, and all our spots are cleansed, and we've been redeemed. It's impossible for sinners to go to heaven, but it is possible through Jesus Christ. I could preach here all day, amen. I'm talking about enablement. You know, God, who can create 10,000 galaxies, God, who takes the code of life and determines whether it will be a lamb or a lion or a man, God has enabled you and I to serve him. Why won't we? Preacher, I just can't. I'm not up to the task. I don't have the ability. Honey, he wants you to serve him today. Amen. Last of all, and I'm done. In verse 38, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Fourthly, and I'm done, there's the submission of gladness. She simply believed. She submitted her life. She yielded. She agreed. She said, I'm at thy service. Do what you will. I'm not concerned about my reputation. You know what we ought to do? We ought to willingly accept God's move in our lives. Now you think about it. If you were told, ladies, you are going to birth the Christ child, there might be a push to be proud. He chose me over everybody else. My Bible says, blessed art thou among, not above, among women.
Amen.
There's probably a push to be proud, but she didn't let it go to her head. She's done nothing for this to be to her credit. How many people would be humble enough to be the mother of Jesus? There's also a push to be pitied. She's going to go home and face the wagging tongues of her neighbors. She's going to face the outrage of her family. You're what? Can you imagine her daddy? Daddy, I'm going to have a baby. It's starting to show. You're what? Can you just imagine? You've embarrassed our family. Get out of this house. Can you imagine the outrage of her family? Can you imagine the scrutiny of her fiance, Joseph? She's going to face the criticism of the world. Now I'm going to ask you a question. You and I, God has chosen you as he chose Mary to put Jesus inside of you.
similarly to how he put Jesus inside of Mary.
What, preacher, dear?
He's put him in my heart. He lives in my heart and in my life. And when he starts growing in you, it'll get out on you. And you'll face criticism. I have a question for you. Are you going to stand on his message? Are you going to hide? Are you going to be scared of what people say? You may have to suffer ridicule, scorn, hatred, mockery. She didn't want pity. One day, she's going to see her own son rejected. She's going to see him humiliated. She's going to see him mocked. She's going to see him abused. She's going to see him crucified. And all of this because of her sin. And my sin. And your sin. She saw her son stripped, whipped. She didn't want pity. All she did was just be faithful to the end. I'm asking you a question. Will you be faithful to the end? Oh my, we're privileged to have Jesus in our hearts and in our lives. But will you be faithful to the end? Or you just become so discouraged, you're ready to quit? Years ago, a pastor left a prominent church burdened to go out to the West in the United States of America, and he took his two sons that were twins, and he took his daughter and his wife. And the little church had promised to give them such and such salary to take care of them, but the church was so poor, they couldn't even pay his salary. And his overcoat began to be moth-eaten. It began to be weather-worn, began to get holes in it. He would go out to see people, and they'd treat him like a dog. His wife would try to encourage him every day with a verse of scripture and a kiss. And she got so discouraged seeing him go out and come back so defeated. One day he came in and he said, I don't know how I can do this anymore. He said, honey, even a dog gets treated better than I get treated in this community. And it just crushed her. The next morning he got up to go back out and she couldn't give him scripture. She was so discouraged. She couldn't even pray about it. She was just like, God, why did you even put us here? God, get us out of this mess. Just send us back. Why did we even come here? What have we done? We've waited too late. Her children were begging for Christmas gifts of ice skates for the Midwest, where or out west, where it's always so cold. And then the little girl's asking for a doll, and they don't have the money. They don't have the money to even eat. They don't know what on earth they're going to do. And that pastor went out so discouraged. And he came back in. He said, I don't know. I'm just going to give up. It's Christmas Eve. I can't even buy anything for my children. We can't hardly even afford a meal, much less a coat for me to wear, or ice skates for my kids, a doll for my daughter, a dress for her to wear to church. We don't have nothing. And that evening, a knock came to the door. It was a man delivering a crate, and he said, thought you ought to have this before Christmas. It's the last thing I'm dropping off before I go see my family, and I knew it couldn't wait. And he dropped it off, and they just looked at each other. Where did this crate come from? And so they broke open the top of it, and sure enough, right there on the top, when they took over that first little blanket, there was a brand new coat for the preacher. And his wife said, honey, why don't you try that on and see if it fits you? This was sent by their former church. Said, we've been burdened for you, pastor. We wanted you to have these things. She said, honey, see if it fits. She said, they should know your size. See if it fits. He said, I can't do it. She said, try it on. He said, I ain't fit to wear it. I've been so discouraged. I've spoke against things. I have no faith whatsoever. I'm unworthy to, who am I that they would buy a coat for me? I got to get right with God. And he went in the back room and confessed his sins, and he came back out and he put his coat on and it fit him right well. They took the next layer of blanket off. You know what was there? It was a brand new shawl for his wife. He said, honey, look how pretty. Look the beautiful colors. Someone has knitted and crocheted this just for you. Honey, try this on. She said, I can't do it. I've been so discouraged. She had to go to the back room and get right with God and confess how discouraged she had been and how unfaithful she had been to the things of God. She came back and put that shawl on. It fit just perfect. Took the next blanket off. There was two little pair of skates for the two twin boys.
And those boys grabbed those skates and was running all over the room, just like we prayed for every night, Mama, just like we prayed for. God heard our prayer. Daddy got a coat. Mama got a shawl. We got ice skates. God's took care of us, Mama. God took care of us, Daddy. The little girl's still standing there. And she said, pull that blanket off, pull that blanket off. And they thought, oh no. She's only been asking for two things. She wants a doll and a dress. They pulled that next blanket back, and when they did, then on top was a red dress. And she said, it's just my size, Mommy. Look underneath, Mommy. There's a little doll, just what she wanted. And she held it in her arms. And I'm telling you, Mom and Daddy went around saying, you know what? God has been so good. I think about the wonder of Christmas. God not only blessed you with a house, with a car, with a suit of clothes, or with a dress. God not only blessed you with a fine family as he has, but God sent his son.
Amen.
To give his life for you that you might be saved. And they buried him, and they said it was over. But on the first day of the week, he arose. And there's a wonder of Christmas today. I thank him for his blessings. But I also thank him because he's the blessor. And I serve him today. And I'm not going to run around here with a program and a songbook and some fake tickets and pretend that I'm on my way to glory. Honey, I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ is the best thing that ever happened to me. He found me when I was lost, and he saved my soul, and he forgave my sins. And I'm telling you, if you really want to know Christmas and the wonder of Christmas, it is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and it is to worship him, and it is to praise him. You'll stand to your feet today. If you need to move today, come on right now. Mind him. Mind him. Come on, church, mind him. Maybe you ought to hit that altar and be thankful. What a Savior. Yes, Lord. Oh, are you saved today? Preacher Darren, I need to be saved. Slip up your hand. Preacher Darren, I need to be saved. Friend, are you facing impossible obstacles? Things that cannot work out according to man. Preacher, I've got something I want you to pray about. Would you slip up your hand? God sees it all over. Look, look, oh, praise God. Look, Lord. Look, Lord. Look, Lord. There are impossibilities in my life, Lord. But possibilities with you, God. And we're looking to you. Anybody else before we pray? Oh, God, today. As we bow our head before you, Lord, we love you. We praise you, Father. We honor you. God, I thank you for saving me. I thank you for forgiving my sins. Lord, I thank you for calling me your child. I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to have a walk with you. God, I pray, Father, this morning that, God, you'd hear us when we say, thank you for your grace. God, we come to you with gratitude. We come to you with praise. We come to you with worship. We thank you, God, for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, this morning as we bow in your presence, Father, we're so thankful for your supernatural greatness. God, that you can do things that we could never do. You come along to encourage us. You come along to enlighten us. And God, you enable us. God, there are things that are too wonderful, that are too precious, that we are not able. But God, Lord, you'll make us able. God, you'll meet the need. God, you'll answer the request. God, you'll do things just like that little family. Lord, when it looked impossible that nobody cared, it looked impossible that they could ever afford a coat or afford a shawl or ever afford ice skates or a red dollar a dress. God, look what you did. God, when it looked impossible for us to be saved, look what you did. Oh, you're the God of possibilities. And the wonder of Christmas is Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you this morning, God. We ask your blessing upon each and every one. And I pray today, God, about these situations that are impossible, that God, you'd work them out. God, there may be somebody here today listening to my voice, hearing me as I preach this morning, hearing me as I pray, God, today, God, they need further instruction. They need wisdom. They need supernatural guidance from Almighty God. Lord, I pray you'd show up, you'd reveal yourself to them, God. Help them, Lord, I pray. Lord, that you'd work this out in Jesus' name, I pray and ask, and all God's people say, Amen.